to bless the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah
me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many can say that they know that today? Amen. Sometimes you just have to hear that you know that He loves you. Amen.
And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible
Tells you that he loves you, amen. How would man know if the Bible would not tell us, amen? The Word of God itself, amen. And we just have one prayer request here. I don't know, or one testimony here. I don't know if we have any other announcements that I know of. So, if there's any there from Sister Hannah, says I just want to thank the Lord for healing me a couple days ago. I fell and I hurt my shoulder, and it was causing me a lot of pain. And David prayed for me, and now it's completely better. Praise the Lord for His healing touch, amen. Just give the Lord a round of applause for His healing touch. We just say with an upraised hand, have a need from the Lord today. Amen. I'm just going to ask Brother Philip if he come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. And also for the tithes and the offerings. How many just come expecting this morning for God to do something, not just another service, but just that God is here to speak His word, to speak the things that we have a need of for this hour. Amen.
For us to come and listen to your word, Lord Jesus. Just bless. bless our pastor as he comes forth to bring your word to us, Lord. Open our ears and our hearts just to receive from you, Lord Jesus. We want to thank you for the healing that you placed on Sister Hannah this week, Lord Jesus. We know that by prayer you heal, and by your word you are with us, Lord Jesus. We pray for the tithes and the offerings, Lord Jesus. Let them be plentiful and bountiful. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sing a song, we're marching to Zion, amen, that beautiful, beautiful Zion. How many can think of one of these days, saints, will be walking right in that very, the presence of God, amen. Amen.
Come we that love the Lord, let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. For we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad.
Sing that song, up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is our home, amen. How many are glad to say that you're children of the King, amen, or marching all the way to that Jerusalem, amen. Amen.
And up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is our home. Well, up the mountain, down in the valley, Jerusalem is my home. Well, home. Jerusalem. Jerusalem is my up the mountain, up the mountain, down in the valley. Jerusalem is my home. Up the mountain, down in the valley. Jerusalem is my home. Well, home, oh, home, sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Hallelujah. Oh, home, sweet home. Jerusalem is my home. Amen. Amen. Why don't you sing that song, Oh Lord, Send the Power, just now. They were in an upper chamber. They were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord, we're singing, Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Yes, there's power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing.
That will be.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you what, somebody was moved of God. They said, just one glimpse of Him in glory. Will all the toils of life repay. Amen. Remember the old colored brother who said, when I see Jesus, he said, I could just sit there for a million years and just look at Him. The one who suffered and died for me. Amen. You love God this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's jump right into the Word of God, if we could. Got graduations today, so by the grace of God, we'll try to do our best. We'll preach a little message here, and we'll let everybody go running. You can go running out, or you can go running to the altar, whatever you want to do. Running to Jesus, however you want to do that. Amen. But yet, this morning, I just have a little thought, by the grace of God, this real simple thought, but kind of felt inspired. Every now and then as a preacher, you can find yourself, God will just reveal and reveal and reveal, and then all of a sudden He'll just kind of drop off for a little season. Amen? And then when He starts to start moving on, you just cry out, say, God, where do You want me to follow this inspiration? And He'll give you a little thought, and that's where we're at this morning. And Lord gave me that thought, and I heard what Brother Simon preached on, or what he taught on this morning by the grace of God. But I don't know if I'll tie in with that. But yet when I heard it, it kind of seemed like it was right along the same thoughts of what the Lord gave me this morning. So we just pray to be a blessing to you. For all those that were in Sunday school, it might be a little bit tying in with what you heard this morning. For all those that weren't there, by the grace of God, this is continuing what you missed. Amen. So that's all right. By the grace of God, let's just move in our Bibles to Luke 17, 28. Good to be a Christian this morning? Has it been revealed to you that you're a son of God or a daughter of God? Praise the Lord. Can God Himself chase you away from Himself? What if God come to you and said, will you go away also? Does this offend you? He tried it with Peter. Amen. He tried it with the disciples. God wants to see if you really want Him, right? Amen. Luke 17, 28. Very simple sermon today. Pray it'll be a blessing to you. Luke 17, 28. It says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. The most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You this morning, God. It's good to be a servant of the Most High God today, Lord. And as we get into these thoughts, Lord, this morning, I pray You just say what You'd have to say to Your children. Oh, God, here we are. We need You, oh, God, more than ever before, God. And, Lord, as we feel, oh, God, the pressures of life, the pressures of that the devil is placing upon us, oh, God, at every hand, Lord, we're just looking for a God who can surpass all those things, just go higher, or take us higher, Lord. That's our desire, Lord, as we see the days short, Lord, and we realize, God, that even being in a message church, oh God, doesn't particularly mean that you're part of this bride, God. And Lord, it's becoming clearer, oh God, as we watch what happens, oh God, around us, Lord, that we're a special people, God, a special chosen people. But I pray, God, today, Lord, that You just reveal Your Word to us, God. Speak a message of grace to Your children, Lord. And Lord, give us, oh God, that which we have need of this morning, Lord. Lord, I can't do anything here, Lord. I'm just a vessel, God. And Lord, if You don't come by, Lord, then nothing will happen, God. But I pray, oh God, that You'll find Yourself not just a minister today, God, but You'll find Yourself a whole church, God, willing and unified, Lord, to allow the Holy Ghost to have His way today, Lord. We just ask God now that You just speak to us, Lord. We have need of You. Oh God, would You speak to us, Lord? Speak those words, oh God, of life to Your bride, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said, Amen. You may be seated. Title for this morning's service, this sermon. We would like to give it the title of Remember Lot's Wife. Amen. And by the grace of God, we'd like to give it maybe a little subtopic if we could, Magnified Mercy. Amen. And yet, by the grace of God, we'll move into this. It's another one of those. And we pray it'll be a blessing to you. Now, notice if we could, we would like to maybe just bring forth our thought again in the scripture that we opened up with. And if we could move to Luke 17:28. Now, we understand that within the statements that Christ had of what the end days would be like and how He could break out the seals through that and how He could show what will actually be happening right at the coming. We understand that God, in all His lot, in all His thoughts, it was God's design that the children that were living in that day would not be in question of what God was trying to do. Amen? That they would not be ignorant, that they would basically be given every shot to be what they wanted to be. Amen? And knowing that this morning, it becomes ever so precious to us because, to be honest with you, you don't have to be a foolish virgin unless you want to be one. You don't have to be one good to the bride unless you want to be one. You can be whatever you want to be. And it's amazing that God would dictate a free moral agency that would work so well on your behalf today if you would only give it what God desires. Amen? And like I said this morning, we'll be working into this thought, and it might be a little cutting, but yet if you see God's design in it, you'll be all right. Amen. Now notice here in Luke 17:28, we realize that right before we get to these portions, even within Matthew and so forth, they're all paralleling one another, that God would actually say, as the days of Noah, so would it be at the coming of the Son of Man, amen? And realizing that God also, He would actually show what the days in that of the end time would be like, as far as He would show that just like Noah's day, they were building, marrying, and drinking, and just having a great time, that there would be also a time where, at the end of time, where God would also allow the people of that age to be in that type of a condition. And in being in that type of condition, it would actually be something that the actual believer who believed in the Word of God could look at those things, look at those statements, look at the condition, and be able to say, okay, now is the time. Amen. So now we understand that if we had time, we could go into Noah, but we're not looking for that this morning. It is the same thing. But yet we realize in Luke 17:28, it says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. So we see now some of the same characteristics coming forth. As far as it was a day of plenty, it was a day of so-called, it would be blessing. But yet, it was also laying down a condition that you would have to find yourself in, okay? Now notice here in the 29th verse, it says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Hallelujah. Now we understand that this scripture here in Luke 17:30, that this was one of the main scriptures that was used to typify this day, right? That the day in which the Son of Man would be revealed, right? So not just showing that He would come, but there would actually be a revelation or a revealing of the Son of Man. Amen. The Son of Man was Jesus Christ, right? But yet a Son of Man is also a prophet. So he realized that a son of man or a prophet would have to reveal the son of man or the Jesus Christ, right? So there'd be a prophet who would show the Messiah sign. He would show Jesus Christ like never seen before. And that would actually show you that you were living in the days of Lot. Hallelujah. Now, notice this is important because we have seen this sign, right? We have seen it. It has been put before our eyes. And we can still see a message that that sign still lives in, right? Hallelujah. It's going to be important because you have to understand that by the grace of God, Jesus Christ didn't die when a prophet died. Jesus Christ is still on the scene. Jesus Christ is still revealing Himself. But church, today, can you see the move that's on the bride? Can you see what God is trying to do in His people? He's trying to elevate the Son of Man. Now remember, He also come, not just in a prophet, but we realize that there would be the coming as well. Amen. Now, if we could, let's just continue to read this very quickly here. It says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember, Lot's wife. Remember, our title this morning is Remember Lot's Wife. Now, we'll be able to dictate by the grace of God and understanding these things. You'll see that now, here we have God showing that a prophet will be revealed to the people. The Son of Man ministry will come. But yet, we understand that it closes off talking about returning back into Sodom. It talks about Lot's wife. Now notice, it cannot give her a name. She's just a woman here. It does not put very much emphasis on her outside of the fact that it shows that there's a characteristic about this woman that we need to pay attention to. Because when the prophet would come, the ending of all this would be looking to Lot's wife. Hallelujah. So this morning we want to look at Lot's wife. We want to look at the direction of these things so that we can see ourselves in this book. Amen. Now notice here what it says. It said in the 31st verse that don't go back. Don't return. Don't look to the things in which you have found pleasure in. So now we see God sending a prophet, but yet there come a time that even though it was in a Sodom condition, a worldly condition, that you would still, even being in that worldly condition, you would have to leave those things. Completely. Absolutely. And not look back to what Sodom was. Amen. So literally, being in Sodom, you're called to leave Sodom. Okay? Now, notice this if we can. I'd like to get into these scriptures, and then we'll try to get to our direction. Genesis 19:15. Now realize that within this portion of scripture talking about Abraham, that we can see a lot of types and a lot of shadows, a lot of things working. And today we're moving with simplicity on what it is. But I'd like you to understand that here we had, you'd actually find three type of believers that would be sitting in this portion of Scripture. You would have the Abrahamites, the Lotites, and those that were of the world, right? And realizing these three type of people were sitting here, it was to show what God would do in the end day. Now notice we're talking about Lot's wife here, but yet we want to look into two wives this morning if we could, and just to show you a few things. Now notice God, He comes to Abraham and says, can I hold anything from Abraham? Can I hold one thing from? But He had to reveal to Abraham that judgment was coming. Amen. But not just judgment was coming, but that there would be a son that would have to be born through his wife. Hallelujah. So not just that God was going to destroy, because He would destroy the wicked, but out of the seed of God, He would actually bring forth the promised Son. Church, you're sitting in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can look through the eyes of Sodom and Gomorrah, but if you don't see that you're not part of Sodom and Gomorrah, you're not part of this world, you're not part of that judgment, but you're only here to bring forth the promised seed of Christ. You only have one purpose, and that is to bring forth Jesus Christ. So was Abraham in the judgment? No. He was there outside. But his whole purpose was to be blessed, while the other was to be cursed. Amen. But notice, of course, how this perfectly types today, because we understand that when God tells Abraham he's going to destroy, Abraham said, "Will you spare the city for 50? And we realize that here Abraham is crying out for the lives of those people, crying out for the righteous seed to be made known and the judgment to be withheld because of the righteous still there. And we realize he says, is there 50? God says, no. 40, no. 30, no. 20, no. 10, no. And it literally come down to the place that we see that there is only one family that was able to be called out. Amen. Good to be a Christian today, isn't it? Now notice here, so God tells him he's going to destroy it. We cannot find a reason why God shouldn't destroy it. God, there was not enough righteousness there for God to spare that world. Just think, if it wasn't righteous enough back there, in the prophet's day, then what about today? When you don't see anyone that wants to serve God outside of just wanting a form of godliness, but any form of the living God within them, with around them, in their church, they're just not interested. There should be a calling out in the people of God today, even in this church. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is His power? Where is His miracles? Where is His life? Where is a God, the God that talked to Abraham? Where is He talking to His children today? Church, it should be with the elect seed. Just think. We should be so much further up the road that just like God could talk to Abraham, God should be talking to us. Just like God said, can I hide? Can I withhold this thing from Abraham? God should be on such a level with you that He cannot withhold something from you. Not just over a pulpit, but so close to the Maker that a change in your life has happened to such a great detail that you literally cannot be without the voice of God every day of your life. Oh, it's just, they're all churches. Oh yeah, they're all churches, all right. And they're mostly all going to judgment. But God is looking for just 10. If He could find just a few. Amen. And here we are at the coming of the Lord. I ask you, what did God tell you this morning? I ask you, when you talked to God, what did God respond? You see, a lot of times, we just don't feel like God can. When we watch the whole design of the Word of God is to show that the impossible is possible. What are you looking for from God? Are you looking for just a life of ease? Oh God, give me no troubles, Lord. No troubles, God. I don't want sickness. I don't want financial woe. I don't want this or want that. Or are you looking to fulfill the Word of God? Because the Word of God cries out this morning. Says, who will come near me? Who is my seed? Because if you know the characteristics of the seed, you fulfill the characteristics of the seed. Amen. Do you realize that Abraham, all he had to look at was some stars? Had a pyramid way out there somewhere. Check it out. You know what he was supposed to be. You do. Oh, a little bit different on the message. Let's quiet down now. Now notice here in Genesis 19:15. So now we see God moving here for the judgment. And it says, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now notice here, so God, he sends two angels down to Sodom, while the main angel, Christ, stays with Abraham. But yet, going down into Sodom, we find that here, the angels come in, but the perversion was so wicked that they could only find rest with Lot and his family. So now, in the morning, they say, okay, Lot, you gotta leave. Now, notice this. I want us to catch this. Of course, they're getting judged by iniquity in 16th verse. And it says, and while he lingered. So two supernatural angels come, smite all these people with blindness, but yet here they tell Lot, get up and go. But look, his desire is not to leave. The scripture says, while he lingered. He was holding on to Sodom. Yes, yes, don't go running out of church. Sodom was a place of homosexuality. Sodom was a place of extreme wickedness. Amen. Notice. So while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. He wouldn't go willingly. They had to force him. And upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. You realize what that is? God pushed him that much more because his mercy was on that level for the people to make it. Now, remember what mercy is. It's that benevolence, the mildness or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. You remember reading that a couple weeks ago. I preached on mercy. Now notice, in this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. So realize there is no word in the whole English language that is the same as mercy. It implies that there is absolutely no reason why something good shall happen to you. Not one reason why things should be good, but just because God is good, just because God is wanting to give you a chance, He supersedes righteousness, the righteous judgment of God, and allows Himself to extend that much further to make sure that you make it. Isn't that what you want today? You've shown you can't live it. You've shown that you're a failure. You've shown that God, He has to in this day supersede what He has given them and give you one longer extension. Right? We preach on law and grace, church. You find you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance because you can't live it. You can't merit it. You can't show God what God wants to see. But look here. Remember, Lot is a type of the foolish virgin. God does everything in His power to get Lot out of Sodom. You say, oh, boy, good for Lot. Do you realize that this is a type of today? Don't say you don't know what I'm talking about, church, because a lot of times you feel yourself still holding on to a little of this world. You're lingering a little bit with this world. You're loving the things of this world more, and you know that you shouldn't be doing it. Notice, Lot didn't tell the angels, you're wrong. Lot didn't tell the angels, no, it ain't going to happen. But it just said that he lingered. He was just waiting for something a little bit more. Trying just to push it off just a little bit. Do you realize that you can spurn mercy? Do you realize that you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost and the pull, the conviction of God will leave your soul? It could happen today if you don't want to stand by this word. But look at how long-suffering God is. He moves in the place where He literally gives you an opportunity that you don't deserve. Is there anyone here that can say, no, I'm not lingering? We know there's so much more of God to be had. But here we sit and we linger right on the pleasures and dainties of this world. Hallelujah! Remember Matthew 25. We probably won't have time to go there because it's a long-winded preacher here. But we realize that the Scripture says they all slumbered and slept. They were all lingering. They were all just waiting around. Oh, but thank God, even though they both had lamps, one brought oil in sufficient amounts to have light when it was time to shine. Amen. So notice here, the Lord was merciful to push him away from Sodom. You see what this is all coming to? I ain't talking about hiding in a cave. I'm talking about staying with the Lord. Amen. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Notice 17 verse. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So notice, don't look back. He gave them the commandment, look not back. Now I understand, most of us know what's going on here. Most of us know what's going to happen. But I want you to see it, church, that they were given a specific commandment from God. And it wasn't something hard. Climb the wall. You got a minute to do it. Run through the wall. The only command that the angels gave them was to not turn back. Don't look back. Don't have your heart set upon the affections of this world. Hallelujah. So notice here, He said, escape to the mountain. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Given a commandment. And Lot didn't want that commandment. Now look at this. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy. So now, Lot, even as a revelation, the reason why he's out is not because of mercy, but actually a magnified mercy. To magnify mercy takes it past just mercy. It's just like Zechariah 4:4. It's grace, grace to the bride. And Lot even had a revelation. He wasn't worthy. He didn't deserve it. And he said to the angels, you have magnified mercy. I'm going to tell you, church, you're not going to make it unless you're depending on a magnified mercy. It's the only merit that God will see in this day. You have to look at the blood applied to the mercy seat. That atonement, that shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because your blood won't do it. Your law won't do it. You have no opportunity to make this rapture unless you are ready to look for mercy. Oh, hallelujah. We're holding on to the things of the world like it's no tomorrow. Oh, God will do it. God will do it, and you're clinging on to the things of the world. Oh, yes, God's going to see me through, and you're holding on with all your power. Do you realize the angels told him to go up to the mountain? And Lot says, not the mountain. He actually says, which thou hast shewed me upon in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Like, that's a lot better than the big one. You see? But what was he wanting to do? He's still clinging on to the world. Do you realize you're called to Mount Zion? You're called to go to that city. That mountain that comes down and sits on Jerusalem. You're called to that city of people. You are that city. But church, do you realize that this mentality looks not for nothing as far as the world's concerned, but it looks for a little bit. It's still trying to cling to a minor form. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I don't do heroin anymore. But I do coke. Right? I don't smoke as many cigarettes as I used to smoke. Just a couple here and there. Oh, I don't get drunk anymore. But a little social drink is okay here and there. I don't lie anymore. But every once in a while, I just kind of have to twist the truth a little bit. You know, a white lie. Hallelujah. I don't look at pornography anymore. But you know the JCPenney catalog. Hallelujah. Now notice, church, if Satan cannot get you in a full-blown form, he will get you in a minor form. But do you realize that Satan is just as happy to leave you in minor form as he is the major form? Because a minor form will bring the same result as the major. Because it is still an attribute of unbelief. I'm talking about skipping a tribulation, church. I'm talking about missing all the things that are dictated for judgment on this earth. Oh, hallelujah. I work with people, and all of them say, yeah, I just don't even watch the news anymore. I don't like to see that. Amen? I say, oh, yeah. Half the people that come and say, oh, yeah, I know. It's definitely the end time. Oh, we got movies about the end of the world and all these things like that constantly happening, constantly unfolding. But we got people, I just don't want to look at that stuff. What are they doing? They're lingering. They're just, just kind of trying not to look at the reality. Do you realize that looking at the condition of this age should drive you to desperation? You should be desperate. Oh, hallelujah. I should be desperate. Do you realize what desperation is? It is a persistence. It's a pushing. It's something that constrains you to have something. And you cannot put it off because it controls you. Just like the pull for the world. It's like we're holding on to the world. We're desperate for it. Just getting our last clench on it. When all the things that are on this world won't even be in the next. You're refusing to walk in the heavenly image while looking right at the earthly image. Do you realize there's no schools on the other side? Do you realize there's no cars on the other side? Do you realize, church, that you're not going to eat the same type of food you eat here on the other side? Do you realize alcohol ain't going to be on the other side? Tight clothes? Yep, ain't going to be there either. Amen. Yep. Everybody will be just in its proper order, won't it? But instead of moving on to this, we find ourselves clinging on to the things that are going to disappear. Do you realize that these things will be burnt up in the judgment? If sports were so good, why is God going to burn up every soccer ball on this planet? Hallelujah! The basketballs, the footballs, the baseballs. We find no reference to sports in this Bible. In the eternal city, I know you can have Christian music groups singing about a big house where we can have a big yard and have big football games and a big table where we can all be big gluttons. And yet we can see here, church, that there is no reference for that in the Word of God. So why are we trying to make that our identity? Why are we trying to make that our satisfaction? Do you realize they're singing more about food, more about balls on the other side, instead of singing about the purpose of the whole reason you're here, which is to be brought forth to the mate, Jesus Christ? We don't need a temporal satisfaction of sports or jumping or running. We need a move of the Holy Ghost that takes sin out of our lives and puts our mindset away from the world and puts us in a mindset that Jesus Christ can come on this level, on the level of you, and talk to you and fill you and make you live just like Him. This move is on the foolish version. God's pushing them. He's forcing them out. He's doing everything in His power. And a lot of times, we look and say, God, You're doing the same thing to me. But we're talking about wives this morning. Hallelujah. So notice, Lot still wanted just a little city to hang out in. Just want a little bit of world. Not much of it, but just a minor form. And he was going to find a satisfaction there. He's crying out to the angels to let it be. And let's continue here. We'll just finish reading this and we'll call it done. It says, "Behold now, this city is near to flee unto. And it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Do you understand that God is looking for a total separation from unbelief? It is the only thing that will get you into a rapture. Which is also a total deliverance. When your prophet talked about the Acts church, he said they had a total deliverance. So a sign of total deliverance is you doing the same things that the Acts church was doing. But you see, it's all coming down to a head. But can you see what Christ is trying to do to you? It destroys me, church. Absolutely destroys me. When I can look at what the Word promises, but I can see the strain of the world pulling so hard on the church. Satan has so many different forms to put that on you. If he can't get you on this one, he'll find another one for you. He's got a taste for every single thing that is upon your flesh. Right? He never leaves you with a good option to cling to Jesus Christ outside of a form of Jesus Christ. But notice here, we see, in finishing this off, it says, "And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar." Now notice 23rd verse. "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar." So at the time of judgment, it was also the time of the rising of the sun. Rising of the sun? Yeah. When it was a time of the resurrection of the Word. Don't be all beat up just because we're still lingering. Because your faith is crying out for more. Your faith, although you see yourself bound, you know there's freedom for you. The difference between the mentality of bride and foolish virgin is Lot just kept on asking for a little bit. Well, we realize if you look deep in yourself, the thing that you see lingering is this flesh. But deep down inside of you, you don't want the things of the world. Because you know friendship with the world is enmity with God. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Yeah. They can talk about movies all they want to work because I don't know about it. And I don't care about it. But that's not my weakness. I've got other things I got to deal with. But I'm watching and I'm seeing God moving on my behalf little by little. Now notice, when God moves you in line of deliverance, He doesn't build you up on a mountain. He constantly is getting you in the place where you see that you don't have it. He's got to get you to the place where there's no option. Because when there's no option, He becomes the option. All right. Why are you going to lose your house? Why are you going to get put out? You realize that? In the church age book, it said that the bride would be physically bereft. Isn't that awesome? This system will progress very soon to a place that you will not have anything. Not even a home. Oh, hallelujah. You can't see the 1 or 2 or 3% dominating and destroying the pull for Christianity in this country? It's time. But look, remember Lot's wife. She looked back. She held on to what was there. When it was supposed to move into the rising of the sun. Notice, then the Lord, 24th verse, rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife become a pillar of salt because she looked back. Some of us ain't saying, I ain't never even left Sodom. I never had a pull for God. You better get a pull for God. You see how God's mercy is so long-suffering? He's going to destroy this country. There's no saving this country anymore. The only thing that'll save this country is a bailout. And the bailout is not to save you. In a sense it is. But in a sense it's not. Because when that bailout comes, your money's worthless. Your options are worthless. The money in the bank you got, don't worry about that. That's gone too. So what are you going to do then? You see what it is? Here you got Noah preaching rain and judgment. And everyone just sitting there listening to it and saying, yeah, it might come. You know what I love about that? Your prophet said, he said there's other people who weren't part of Noah's gang who were building little boats. But because it wasn't in the building that God had designed, it was destroyed. They were building ships, figuring out how, you see, they were able to go part of the way with the message. But they didn't take the full word. You couldn't build your own ark, your own boat. You had to be with the prophet in his boat. Likewise with this, you can't just have God sent a prophet or just this thought of a message. You got to stay with the design that God gave you. This ain't no move of legalism. This ain't no move of you trying to dominate. This is a move of you decreasing to a place that the message takes over you. Do you realize that if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have enough power to speak another planet and go live on it? Why is that? Oh, I don't have any power. But you've got the Holy Ghost that puts God in you. Well, what's that got to do with anything? The same God that said, let there be, is in you. Which means the power of that God, it can speak inside of you. But I love how your prophet said it, because he said, but it couldn't happen. He said it could only happen if the laws of God allowed it. But it didn't. But he was trying to bring you into a place that you realized what you were packing. Oh, if I could only make it. Oh, if God. And a lot of us here, we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have the greatest power that's ever been given to this world. We sing, oh God, if you could just do something. Oh God, if you could just change me, God.
God says, yep, I'm going to change at that body change. That's right. I'll do it. Don't worry. Oh, God, if you could just change me. Yep, yep. It's just getting ready to happen. Oh, if I could only make it, God, if you could just change me. Yep, I'm right inside of you. What else do you need? I guess if you want to be perfect in your flesh, maybe this ain't the house for me. Is there anyone here that doesn't want to be perfect? Nobody? Nobody wants to be a failure? Nobody? Not one of us? There's got to be at least one. Somebody's got to want to be a failure here. And then all you got to do is think about it. Everyone wants to be perfect. But what makes you perfect? What makes you perfect is the perfect one inside of you. The nature of that perfect one. The struggle with the nature of that perfect one is because you have the free moral agency to allow either side to win. But just because you are not perfect doesn't mean that the perfect one isn't there. Because the perfect one can't fully establish himself until the flesh is gone. But the perfect one come there so that you would be perfect without the body change fully happening. So whether you see it or not, you're perfect right now by the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you have it. So notice, I better get ready to close. Notice, how can I overcome? Got a lot of reading to do here. I was trying to read this real fast. It says, I might mention another character in the days of Lot. Jesus referred to it. There were only three that overcome. Lot and his two daughters. Not even his wife didn't overcome. She started out, she's a type. Wish we had time. My 30 minutes is up right now. She was all, she done all right. She left. Now I got to give this to you just a moment. Many of you has left too. Many of you have left these things to take your stand. After you searched it through the Scripture and find it's right. You've seen the vindication of the Almighty God. But not what somebody said was the vindication. What the Bible said would be. And here it is doing it. You saw it was the truth. So you set out to leave Sodom, the denominations. Leave the things that bind you to a creed. And to follow Christ by the Holy Spirit, vindicating Himself by the written Word of God. In other words, you took the Bible instead of the creed. You set out to follow. You understand that's even part of the problem? Because people make this prophet the creed. Notice, well, 82. Well, Lot's wife did the same thing, you know. She set out to go with Lot, follow her husband, her children, her loved ones. But it wasn't in her heart. She still loved the world. It's just simple to make a rapture. You just have to have love. Yeah, love for God, not the world. So it's possible you can make a start and still be the world in you. You see that? It's possible to make a start in this message. You found yourself in a church. But it's possible to come here and say, I believe that this is the Bible. But to still have a cling to the world in your heart. See, she never overcome. And even though she was well on the road, it finally overthrowed her.
She had to take that one big, long, last look. There's where she got caught. Don't even look back. Don't have no desires. Keep going. Put your mind on Calvary and keep moving towards Christ. She started out as an overcomer, but she never did overcome. Oh, she left the denomination. She did. She walked out of Sodom and with Lot, but she wanted to go back and have her hair cut. You know what? She had to go back. She just couldn't stand the test. So when it comes to the rapture, it's actually a test. Oh, maybe I'll just cut my hair a little bit here. Maybe I'll just put some high heels on. Boy, we're quiet. You know what? She had to go back. She just couldn't stand the test. She had to look back again to see what the rest of them was doing. Oh, you know, I have some good friends down there after all. And after all, this might be just a little move. I don't know whether it could be right or not. I've only got this man's word for it. Isn't that what you're leaning on? Isn't that what you're holding on to? We're seeing a form of judgment. We're seeing an angel spoke, vindicated, moved. But is he really right? Is the message really right? Though he's my husband, but yet, look at this. Your pastor is your husband, spiritually speaking, you see. Now, whether it could be right or not, I don't know. Maybe his revelation wasn't right. Don't you just love your pastor? Oh, headship's such a tough thing today. Everybody's smarter than our pastor. Everybody's better than our pastor. Hallelujah! Yep, if the pastor would have only done things better this way or that way. Oh, if the pastor was only better with this, or if he was only more disciplined, if he's only like this and only like that. But yet you're dealing with the choice of God. Oh, if my pastor was only better with his social abilities. If only my pastor. You know what? I've thought a lot of times about leaving. Plenty of times. But you know what? God told me if I left, I was done. He showed me. He told me. Clear as the midday sun. That if I resign and leave, I'm done. Why did he have to tell me that? Don't you realize where we're seated at? This is the time. It's not hard for a pastor to be a pastor, but it's hard for sheep to follow a pastor. It's hard for sheep to submit to a pastor. This is the move of the bride. God's perfecting on me the same as He's perfecting on you. So I've got to have just as much faith in what God said as I have faith in what God said about you. Oh, you think I'd be preaching here if I thought everybody's going into the tribulation period? Yeah, right. God, I'm the only one. But thank God, God let me have faults. God let me
not be a perfect person. So that when I looked at you, I could see that not only I need to be moved on by the Holy Spirit, but you did too. I forgot about that part in the quote. Praise God. Now we're really quiet. You know what? I know I'm not the perfect pastor. I know there's a lot of them a lot better than me. But I know what I am. And I know that God told me, don't go running. Even though the devil brings that by all the time, I can look here and you realize I'm putting faith on the words that God spoke to me. But you know what? I don't want to be in that judgment. You realize God... You think I realize I'm not the perfect pastor. I realize I ain't the best at doing everything. I'm not very good at much at all. I know you guys all are. You're awesome. Every time I got a vision, you're right behind me. You finish it. Yeah. Man, I'm sitting here. I'm the only one that's flawed here. Who would have thought God would put such a group of people together? God would give you a failure pastor for a perfectly flawless little church. Pastor, let me lift you up. Because if you get to the right spot, I'll be okay. But even if you don't make it, I am, because I've already arrived. Boy, I'm kind of just playing this one out, ain't I? Gee, not like I see it or not. It's just a fresh revelation. Not like I can see it day in and day out. Good thing I wasn't the one that said that. You'll have to take the word of the messenger. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sing it with me now, church. Amen. 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 Glory. You want to make a rapture and think that you're not going to have your pastor in the right position? You're not going to make it. You think that I'm going to make a rapture and I don't have a faith in my church to live on the high level that God called me to live in. Even if I'm not there, glory to God, I know where I'm going. Oh, hallelujah. I would love you. You need to take a trip someday into my mind. Come on by. I'd love to pull you right through it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You ever been by those people? They say, boy, if I could only go 30 seconds in that person's mind, see what's going on up in there. You try to go into a pastor's mind sometime. Because don't you realize that if Satan can get the shepherd, he'll get the sheep. Yep. I'm one of the only pastors in the message who can see myself as a creature fallen from grace. And that I can't walk the walk. And I can't talk the talk. Wow. And the only thing I have as a pastor to know that I'm making a rapture is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, if I was only more perfect. Wow. If I was only more perfect in my revelation of this atonement. Lord. But God's bringing me there high and mighty. Oh, man, how did I get in that quote? I got like 14 of them here. Why did I pick that one? I don't know. So notice, he says, you see, now whether it could be right or not, I don't know, maybe his revelation wasn't right. Then if you're not perfectly satisfied, you're not perfectly know that it's the Word of God, then you can't go. So if you don't know the pastor's revelation is perfectly right, you won't go. So that means that there has to be a pastor somewhere that has the perfect revelation. Good luck. All right, let's continue on here. Let's move right on. It says here, see, you've got to really be sold out. You've got to know it. Not just say, well, I see others doing it. I see a sign. Praise God. Now let's continue here. I'm going to try to skip around, try to get this by here very quickly. Very quickly. Notice, Junction of Time 56 says, matter, if we can him to commit ourselves into his hands and look for his omnipotence, that's right. Watch where it's at. And we see him as he follows on, as Abraham sitting under his tent with these angels appeared to him. They went on down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we find out that God in that day performed miracles. He brought fire out of the skies and swept away the city, cleaned off the land, and gave it all to Abraham. And Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt because she looked back at the memorial of disgrace. So holding on to the world is what? Instead of looking at grace, you're actually looking at a memorial of disgrace. So you just think about that the next time you want to do your worldly deeds. The next time you hold on to those things. Say, God, I'm just holding on to disgrace. It's just a little city, you know. So, who was a great lady among the societies of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the valleys were swept out when God performed the miraculous with fire and brimstone from heaven. So what was that judgment? It was actually God sweeping off the land so that Abraham could take his inheritance. So Lot's wife was looking at what was there. But Abraham was way out here and couldn't see it. Because he was looking at the promise of what that was to be wiped off for him to possess it. I know this judgment ain't something great to look forward to. We don't want to see anybody miss it. But do you realize that it's inheritance knocking on your door? It's not your fault that they're not making it, because you're like Abraham, you're crying out for the seed. Hallelujah. Very quickly here, we understand that Lot, type of the foolish virgin, type of the nominal church. And the reason why Lot was is because Lot loved the world. Okay? We understand the scripture in 2 Peter. You don't have to go there for time's sake. 2 Peter 2:5 through 9, it said, and God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot just loved the things of the world. Okay? But notice what the point of it all was. It was to show you what was oil and what wasn't. This was the type of the coming of the Lord. And Jesus pointed to Lot's wife when he could have pointed to Lot. But he was more interested in pointing at the woman. Why was he more important? Why was it more important to point at the woman? Because the woman types the church. Now notice this very quickly. Let's see if I can find this real quick. Jehovah Jireh. 159 says, if God foreshadowed that to Adad, Lot's wife, don't you turn around and look back towards the things of the world. All those types and shadows are perfect. See? Remember Eve. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot himself, you men. Remember Adam give in to his wife, Lot, the same way. So all Lot and Lot's wife was a type of the original Adam and Adam's wife, Eve. Be careful. I'm just telling you as a brother, it's later than you think. So what was it doing? It was cleaving for the knowledge of the world. It was looking back. And Lot was willing to what? To allow his wife to do such a thing. Why? Because his heart was the same thing. Right? He was looking for the little cities. It was a family plan, church. But look, the older greater than all of them is here, 62. Let me give you a little grace here, brethren. That minute, God would have killed Sarah for disbelieving the angel. He didn't. Look at the angel, went down and told Lot's wife not to look back. See what happened to her for her unbelief? See? But he couldn't take Sarah. Because she was part of Abraham. And today, the unbelief with the real true church, she has unbelief, but he can't touch her. We're in Jesus, see? You can't take the church without hurting Christ. He couldn't take Sarah without hurting Abraham, so grace covered it. And Sarah got scared. She denied it. He said, you didn't do it. Now, Jesus said, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So here we are looking at the same thing. Remember, when God told Abraham that he would have a son, Sarah laughed in the tent. And watch, Jesus Christ or the angel that come, he said, Sarah lied. And Sarah said, no, I didn't. Or Sarah laughed. And Sarah said, no, I didn't. She lied to God. God should have required that of her life. Do you realize that Lot's wife showed unbelief? And so did Sarah's. They both were showing what? Unbelief. But one type of unbelief was a love for the world. While the other type, she was scared. Because she was fully exposed. Sarah loved the Word. But what it was holding was so great before her. She was overwhelmed by it. She had a little fear because she didn't know how it could be. Mercy rewrote my life. So I ask you, you see two wives here. One, follow the memorial of disgrace. But the other one, she had unbelief too. But God couldn't count it on her because she was with Abraham. She just had the right husband. Don't miss what God's trying to do. Don't miss the element that both of them had unbelief. So what puts you out of the rapture? Unbelief. Does it? Whoa, 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 whoa! What puts you out of the rapture? They both showed unbelief. They both
couldn't live it perfect. But one just had a love. She had a love for the world. She was clinging by. And one had unbelief, but yet she was in her husband. Because this is unbelief. Let's understand this. It ain't deep. This is so simple. He just rallied, just wailed on me for just like an hour. Have some grace. I mean, you even hit headship. I mean, come on. That wasn't my intent. But it was part of that quote. Just come by. But notice, church, think about this. I didn't get this. This come to my head now. I better say this. You know, we are brothers and sisters. Look at how far this church has got away from calling each other brothers and sisters. You're David. You're Ashley. Hi, Hannah. But then there's certain types of ministers or certain people. You know, like Brother Brooks or Brother Biscoe. And you just can't separate brother from their title. You know there's certain people that you can't do it with. But for some reason, you can call me Cam. What a rebuking. Will you also go? But it just ain't a pastor. You are a family. You are a family. You're the moral standard of this message, whether you see it or not. But we'd rather be like the world, so to say, okay, you're just a common person, okay, let's just call you this, instead of actually the Scripture had them called Brother Timothy. Brother so-and-so, brother this, brother that, brother that. Because your title was to be called brother and sister with one another. Yeah, you can't do it with one another, let alone me. Because we're just common. Oh, we want to move a God. Oh, we want a rapture. And even these little details, they just dominate us. Look at all you now. Look at you looking at me. I love you. But I shun not to declare the whole gospel to you. Oh, Brother Cam, I heard you say one time, I know I'm fighting too. So, as we close, Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's in excess. Drunkenness, cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You love God. You see, you can be like Lot's wife. Just keep on looking back. Like Lot, have that same type of attitude. Just cling on to a little world. Or you can say, God, let the love of Jesus Christ supersede all of that. My problem isn't a problem with the world. My problem is I have too much love for that. I need more love for God. You see, it doesn't matter if I preach a deep sermon every time, if I preach this good thought and this and this, because if we can't get over just these basic things, it doesn't matter what mysteries you got that's going in the tribulation. I look and I say, I was just back there and I say, God, I know you can show me something powerful. And God lets this inspiration for this strike me.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh boy, that's simple. It's almost like the Holy Ghost is speaking to me. Why do you think I'm pulling you away from all that deep stuff? If you got any conviction about yourself, you got hit by this one. You know what? Praise God. Because that's why God sent it to you. But you can sit here and you can be whatever type of church member you want to be. Chew on it. Chew on it. Your prophet said there's three types of believers in every church.
I know. Brother Cam said
that I'm believing this is the exception. You ain't kidding, I'm believing that. But I can't force you. Let's stand. Don't forget to hug your pastor and give a little double honor after church. I love you. I just love the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't you love God? Because this is not coming down to your deep revelation. This is coming down to your love. Do you love your Maker? Do you love His statutes? Do you love His commandments? Are you still holding on to this world? It's not a big problem if you say yes. Because God's doing a process right now. But it is a problem if you hear this and say, okay, it's time to go home. It is a problem if you don't feel enough conviction to cry out, not to a pastor, but to cry out to your Maker and say, God, I need a change. God, I don't love you enough. You realize the love of God puts you in desperation. So you know what? If you're not in desperation for God today, it shows you don't love Him. So what do you need? You need more love for God. I ain't going to try to force you to do something, raise a hand, or force you to make a move. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, here, oh God, you gave me quite a burner tonight, this morning, this afternoon, God. And Lord, I can honestly say within my heart, God, that I'm not free of offense. That I'm not where I want to be, God, but I see what you're doing in my life, God, and how you're breaking me down to nothing, God. And God, a lot of times I don't like myself, God. In ways, God, I hate myself, God. I hate what this flesh does. I hate what I allow it to do. I almost feel like Paul, Lord. But God, I know this, Lord. I know that there's a church here, oh God. That's probably, oh God, they can stand right with me and say that they're in that same place, oh God. They're not happy with the way they act and the things that they do a lot of times, God. But Lord, we see what you're doing, God. You're trying to pull us away from any hold, any comfort on ourselves as individuals. And God, you're trying to place all our confidence in a greater hope, in a greater person. Lord, today, God, we just ask, God, Lord, those who are willing to enter into this prayer with me, Lord, that God, you just change our lives, God, change our thoughts, God, change our mind, God, that Lord, we can't be satisfied with where we're at. We can't, oh God, find pleasure with what we're looking at, God. We have to have more desperation for you. And God, we don't want to be at a place, God, that Lord, when these things start happening, and we know they'll happen suddenly, because your Bible said they'll say peace and safety, and sudden destruction will come upon them. God, today, Lord, we just want to dedicate ourselves wholly to you now, Lord. Oh God, take the loves of our lives, God. Take, oh God, all these things which need not be, God, and place more emphasis in our lives on you, Lord. To love you, to cherish you, God. Oh God, the things of the world we're holding on to, God. Help us, oh God, to realize that we are the body of Christ. This is our family, Lord. These are our brothers and sisters. This is our pastor. This is our chief shepherd up here, Lord. You are that, Lord. And God, Allow us, Lord, to move ourselves aside so this Holy Ghost can move, O God, in this body to perform the things that are predestinated into it, Lord. I just ask today, God, Lord, I don't need to have a raising of hands. I don't need to have someone come forward if they don't desire, Lord, or they feel pressured to do it, God. But Lord, what we need today, Lord, is if there's hearts out there that realize they're not living this standard, that they still, God, are not in the place they need to be with You, Lord, that God, that they're willing to say, God, I have need of Thee today. Oh God, I need to love You more today, God. Lord, I want to be prepared, Lord. I see unbelief, God, but I want to identify with Sarah, Lord. Oh God, overlook me because of the husband, Lord. Lord, and the only reason, the only way that You can overlook that individual that should have died in Sarah is because she was married to Abraham, God. Lord, let us come into that communion with the God of this age, the God of not a Laodicean age, but a God of the bright age. God, look, oh God, into our hearts, Lord, and see the bonding that we're trying to do with You, Lord. We fall so short, Lord, but we're looking for grace. Oh God, where You magnified mercy to a lot, that means You magnified to us, Lord. Oh God, have Your way with us, Lord. Give us strength, Lord. And God, let us push into the promise. We have need of Thee today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song as our song leader comes. If you have need of prayer today, I'd be happy to pray with you. Don't worry, I'm not the only one that's sitting here. It's not like I'm in a place that I say, God, I'm perfect. I'm above this. I say today, God, I need help. I need a move of Jesus Christ more than I've ever needed one before. Let's sing that song, Mercy Rewrote My Life.
Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. My life. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul cast down.
turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing that again. Turn your eyes. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. One more time, turn your eyes. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Just sing that song, Draw Me Near, I Am Thine, O Lord.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to Thee. Lord, to the cross where